You know, God is a good God. Amen. You know, I saw something this morning when I came in. The first song we did, talking about mountains and moving. That's what we're going to talk about that today. Do you think you're getting the groove with me on that today? Yeah, I had the pleasure of pastoring for 32 years in New Jersey. Most of it was in Paterson, New Jersey. That was an adventure. We were very ethnically blended. And during the worship, you know, the black ladies would have got them. And the Spanish ladies got them. And I'd be up there. I used to play the Hammond organ with the worship team. And I said, there they go. They're worshiping God. They love the Lord. And they just let it all hang out. Amen. But this was a great opening today. And is there a clock I can watch up there? No, there isn't. Well, I guarantee you I'll have you out of here by 2 o'clock today. No, Pastor Jay doesn't talk that long. Well, let me turn my phone on over here so I can monitor my time. And we're going to talk about something good. Are you ready to pray? Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today at this wonderful church. We're going to bring the Word of God out today, and we're going to grow in the Word of God today. We're never going to be the same again after today. I thank you, Father, you brought me to the right place, a place that knows how to worship and they believe God, and we thank you, Father, for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen and amen. Well, yeah, I pastored for 32 years, and it was a joy. I went to Rhema, as Pastor Jay did, so I'm one of those Haganites. I'm part of that name it and claim it bunch, blab it and grab it bunch, you know. But, you know, I feel sorry for people that don't speak what they desire from God. And that's why they're not receiving. Sometimes people praise you, well, boy, I hope God heard me. Well, you know, when you pray the word, he hears you. Because he hears the word when it comes out of our mouth. He says, nah, that's my kid down there talking. How many of your parents, you know what I'm talking about? When your little children start talking, right in the beginning it's cute. After a while you wish they'd be quiet, you know. And then when they grow a little bit older, you have good conversation with them. I remember my daughter when she was little, she couldn't say refrigerator. She said fridge-ridgerator. But we know what she was talking about. Amen. But I want to talk today about speaking to the mountain. And let's go to Mark chapter 11. Very popular passage of scripture. Let's go to verse number 20. Actually, what has happened here is that, let me get there. No wonder I'm not there. I'm in the wrong chapter. Now we're cooking. And you know, they had passed by and Jesus cursed the fig tree. And then when they came by again, the next day they saw that it was withered up. And Peter said to him, Lord, remember the tree that you cursed? Look at it. And Peter and Jesus answered, verse number 22, he said, have faith in God. And I like another translation on that. It's have the God kind of faith. Be like God. Believe what God says. How many of you remember before you were born again hearing Christians talk? I thought they were nuts. You know, I grew up in New York City, and then I moved to New Jersey, and now I'm up here in Queensbury, New York, with Suzanne. And I remember I transferred down to Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1978. I was unsaved. Little did I know, and God planted me. I bought a house about a mile away from Rhema, and I wasn't saved. I didn't know anything about anything. But I go to work, and there were all these Christian guys at work at American Airlines. I hear them talking about God, and I'd look and I'd say, my God, they talk about God like they know him. And then I'm hearing these guys talking among themselves, saying, you know what the Lord told me yesterday? I said, holy cow. And they said, God talks to them too. Yeah, I wasn't saved. You know, I didn't think, God, I wasn't even sure if there was a God. You know, if there was, you know, but I was wrapped up in other things. And you know, I didn't know anything better. But then I get saved. A couple of years later, I get saved. And I get saved. And I think I've shared my testimony. I'm not going to get into that. But I got saved reading the Gospel of Matthew. I can't wait to see Matthew up there and say, hey, thanks for writing it down. And you know, I got saved at the crucifixion scene when it said, and they crucified him. That was it. Joe died and a new guy was born. I became a new creation. So, you know, I cried a lot and I went to the men's room. I washed my face. I looked in the mirror. I was at work. And, and I thought to myself, this has to do with God, Jesus, and that Bible. What happened to me today? What happened? And as I'm leaving the men's room, first time I ever prayed. When you're not a believer, you don't pray. You just hope for this and hope for that. And, you know, but I never prayed. I prayed. The first prayer was, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Bang, that did the job. You know, like the thief on the cross. He said one thing, and Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. Yeah, I said, oh, Jesus, forgive me, and he did. I didn't have to beg. You know, Brother Raphael, he needs some enthusiasm, I think, this guy here. You know, I thought he was going to steal the service today and preach. He got the role. But anyway, you know, so I go to the men's room, you know, and I get through crying. I wash my face. I was at work. I looked in the mirror. I said, man, you look the same, but something's different. And I prayed. I'm leaving the men's room. I said, this has to do with God, Jesus, and that Bible. What in the world was it? What happened? I feel different. And I'm pushing the door open, and there's nobody around, and I prayed. I said, hey, God. I was from New York. You see your friend across the street. You know, you see Joe across the street. Hey, Joey. Yeah, yeah. And I said, hey, God, what happened to me today? And I heard a voice. I heard a voice that first day. And he said, you're a Christian now. And I just stopped. I said, oh. I looked up. There was nobody around. And I smiled. I said, ooh. He answered me. Wow, God is real. He talks and he leads us and guides us. Isn't it wonderful living the Christian life? My God. We look at this and God, we talk to him and he talks to us. He leads and guides us. And he's always there no matter what. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And, you know, we understand, and we're going to talk to you about speak to the mountain. I've got some illustrations, some things I want to tell you today. You've heard all this before. I'm not going to tell you anything today that Pastor Jay has not already taught you. By the way, if any of you are visitors, if you don't like the way I preach, come back when Pastor Jay's back. You're going to like him better than me. Yeah, you're going to like him better than me. But, you know, when we look at the scriptures, we see that God did everything by speaking it. He spoke, let there be light. And everything that he said, it happened. And God hasn't changed. What he tells us in his word, he will make it come to pass. And we need to not quit. We need to not be weary and doing well. But we'll reap if we don't faint. That's the problem. People faint. We're going to talk today about speaking to the mountain. And then, Jesus says to him, have faith in God. Well, have the God kind of faith. Also, then in verse number 23, for assuredly I say to you, I'm in the New King James, by the way. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm going to tell you some things on how I learned it. I learned it the hard way. Bad things happen, but God. But God comes on the scene. 49 times in the Bible it says, but God, where God is going to interject something to change what's going on around us. But God, who is rich in mercy, right? All the but gods that are in the Bible. And you know, and he spoke and it all came to pass. And Jesus here is giving us instructions about speaking. You know, faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. You know, Brother Hagin said, if you listen to somebody talk for 5 minutes, you could locate them. Well, you need to be careful how we talk. If somebody prays for you and they pray the word, get in agreement with them about the word, because the word works. How often? All the time. We need to get in line with him on that thing. In Hebrews and chapter 11, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to read a couple of verses in there. You know, I remember when I was a new believer, I was looking for the book of Hebrews. I was looking through the Old Testament for it. I didn't know it was in the New Testament. I said, well, Hebrews, it must have been the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By it they understand. Well, let's look at verse number 3 anyway. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You know, you're a new creation. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you, so therefore, you could act like God. You're not God, but you could act like him. Why? You're his child. You're his child. Everybody we know, when we raise children, they take after. It's me. I've become my mother. Well, no, I really have. I remember one day a few years ago, I was outside. I went outside early in the morning. It was in the winter. I had my long, you know, heavy pajamas on and a robe out there, and I'm throwing bread out for the birds. And I said, oh, my goodness, I've become my mother. used to do that. And you know, we become like our parents. God is our Father. And Jesus is his Son who came and became visible and tangible and talkable and touchable and everything. And he went through everything, any trial or test that you faced in life, Jesus faced it. Yes. You know, I mean, like if somebody today worked a miracle where they fed 5,000 people, just a couple of fish and some bread, we'd think, oh, look what I did. No, you did nothing. You know, I was talking to a guy one time, and I was talking to him about what happens when we pray for people and we speak the word to them. You know, I've prayed for people and seen people get healed of all kinds of things, and you know, I didn't heal anybody. God is the healer. It's like there's a pipe out in the street, and there's a pipe that comes into the house, and you turn the water on, the water comes out. We're the pipe. We're the pipeline of God. So here we see here all this thing in Genesis. And you know, and we need to confess that I am bringing what is in the spirit realm into visibility. We bring things that are invisible to the natural eye, but we don't walk by faith. I mean, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Faith sees what the eyes can't see. We see it through the eye of faith. And you know, I look at this, I'm bringing this. You know, I am what God says I am. Say that to your neighbor, I am what God says I am. Turn to someone else, say, you are what God says you are. See, I had a nickname from my mother when I was a kid. How many had a nickname from your mother? Well, my mother called me unconscious. Well, she'd be talking to me and I wouldn't even answer. She said, hey, unconscious, I'm talking to you. Oh, why? But you know, we need to learn to hear the voice of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit in speaking to the mountain. We need to speak to those obstacles. You know, the first song that we did, talked about a mountain and it moving. And we can move mountains. And look at this, you know, I am what the word says I am. Did you tell that to somebody? Turn to somebody and say, and you are what God says you are. Amen. Bible says that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. We know the scripture. You know this already. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things, verse number 21. Let's move down to verse 21. Verse 25. For he made him, meaning Jesus. God made Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to be for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. We are the righteousness of God in him. I've heard a lot of people over the years say, well, I'm just a sinner. No, you're not. Not if you're born again. God changed you. You're not a sinner. A sinner defines the nature of the lost. We're not lost. We've been found. Amen. And I look at this here. So we need to look at this. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. And I believe strongly in speaking to the mountain. I learned it early in my Christian life. I mean, my Lord, have mercy. I wasn't even saved a year. And I learned the valuable principle of speaking to the mountain. You know, I had come down with some kind of a disease. You know, believe it or not, my wife and I, Suzanne is my second wife, my first wife. Many of you know, she passed away almost 6 years ago now. And this lovely wife of mine, now she used to work on staff with us at church. And I tell you, she was wonderful. And well, here we are. Amen. So anyway, it's never too late to get married again. And well, anyway, let me move on. We only saved a short amount of time. We went to Disneyland in California, and I kept drinking out of a water fountain. And my wife at the time said, Joe, you shouldn't drink out of that thing. You don't know what's in. Well, it's just water. Why don't you get a bottle of water? I said, nah, then I got to carry a bottle of water around with me. I don't want to do that. Well, anyway, about a month or so later, I started not feeling good. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, my stomach was bothering me, having all kinds of issues and this and that. But we lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was just saved, not even a year or something like that. So that was when Oral Roberts had the City of Faith Hospital. Boy, I went to that faith hospital there. They got faith doctors and everybody's in faith. And in the lobby, there's books about God and this and that. Just wonderful. And, you know, And he started running some tests on me and this and that. And finally, after about a month, and I'm not feeling good. I'm losing weight, and I'm just tired all the time. I'm weak all the time. And I got all kinds of stomach issues going on. And they called me up, and he said, Brother Joe, doctor called me, Brother Joe, we found out what the problem is. Why don't you come on in and see me? We're going to take care of that. So I go in, and I said, okay, what's going on? Well, we found this thing. You picked up some kind of a germ, a bacteria. It's microscopic. It's in your intestines, and it's called Giardia lamblia. I don't know if anybody ever heard of it. And I said, so what is that? He says, well, there's medication we can give you. Have you been out of the country? I said, no, I haven't. Why? Well, you get it from drinking bad water. I remember, oh, my Lord, I was drinking out of those water fountains. And I got a bug. And he said, it's all over the place in you. It's microscopic. You can't see it. So he gave me these pills to take. And he said, take one pill every day for a month. Well, I got healed. It went away. I got healed. But then, as I'm taking these pills, a friend of mine, a Christian at work, says to me, Joe, did you ever think about speaking to that thing? I said, what? He said, speak to that thing. What thing? That bug you got. So he said, speak to that thing. Tell that bug. Address it by name. That was my mountain. I started speaking, Giardia lamblia, you may lay eggs every day, but your eggs are going to die. You're going to die. And my body's going to be rid of all of you. And I would say that over and over again as I'm taking these pills. Well, then I got well. I thought, well, look at that. Now I feel good. And well, a few months later, it came back. It came back. And boy, I wasn't feeling good. And I said, wait a minute, Giardia lamblia, I thought we did away with you. Now, listen to me. I'm only saved about, not even a year. I said, you can't live in me. You might be hatched and you're going to die in the name of Jesus. You got to throw the name of Jesus into the mix. I said, you have to die. Well, a week later, it was gone. Praise the Lord. Well, then a guy came down to Tulsa several months later who I used to know before I was saved. He was in the occult. I was in the occult. And I got around him and then he walked away. And all of a sudden, I felt my stomach go. I said, oh, no. Giardia lamblia, you can't come back. I started speaking to that thing again and again and again, and in 3 days, it was gone. And that's like almost 40-something years ago. Never came back. Speak to the mountain. A mountain comes, it wants to stay. But, the Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Bug can't live. I used to tell my kids, the bug that bites me dies. Nah, I'm serious. The bug that bites me dies. If it bites me, it can't live. The bug will fly away singing, hold the power of the blood. Glory to God. And and God is in the healing business. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let me tell you this. This is so important that you really get this. Even when you feel all beaten down, even when you feel exhausted, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be any kind of a thing. Stand up strong and speak to that thing, because your words of faith are stronger than what that thing is trying to do to you. And you think about it, you see a high, we drive along on the highways, and sometimes you can see where there's a mountain, we're driving to a mountain. There used to be a mountain that was there, but it's not anymore. The way they got rid of it is they came out every day and they put some charges of dynamite in there. The dynamite would go off, they clear it away, they come back and they put another set of dynamite in there, boom, it's gone. They clear it away, put another one. The thing about it is, you got to speak to that mountain every day. I know, we speak the word. Yes, speak the word. But if you want a confession of faith, thank God for the Holy Ghost. You pray and ask God, Lord, give me something that I can say. I'm going to give you some other examples here of what happened in me. The devil kept trying to take me out, but he can't win. He can't win. Because I know whose I am. And if you know whose you are, he has no power over you. He has no authority over you. Devil spoke to me. So, my first wife's kidney, she passed away. It's almost 6 years ago. And, let me tell you what I did. If any of you lost a spouse, that's a terrible thing. Suzanne lost her spouse, and I knew him. Marty was my head usher for many years in the church. And when my wife passed away, then my daughter stayed with me for a few days. Well, almost a week she stayed with me. She went home. But when she went home, the rubber met the road. Boy, oh boy, all of a sudden it's just me and my lonesome sitting in the house. But old Slewfoot was around. He kept talking to us, the devil, by the way. He started talking to me. He said to me, you prayed and you healed this person of that and you healed. I said to him, shut up in the name of Jesus. First of all, I didn't heal anybody. God did. Right? I didn't heal anybody. God healed them. All I did was trust God at his word and do what the word says, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, so then I said, and besides, let me tell you something. I got news to you. I don't belong to you. You have no right to talk to me. I said, you shut up in the name of Jesus. Then I turned to God and I said, Father, I am yours. For the rest of my life, I am yours. I will never, never. I said, listen to this. I said, Lord, you know my thoughts. You know what I'm going to say. So you know I'm not going to be blowing smoke at you. And I said to God, I will never, never, ever say, you let me down. You are my God. See, sometimes you need to take a bold stand and declare whose you are and what you are and talk directly to God because he hears you. And I said, Father, I am yours for the rest of my days. For the rest of my days, I will never say to anybody that you let me down because you didn't. I don't know everything, but you are still my God. And you make a confession like that to God, and oh, tell you what, all of heaven is standing up. That cloud of witnesses, hey, there you go, Joe. There you go. There you go. Good. You tell him.
That's
right. Don't let the devil bully you. He's a bully. We had a dog in my neighborhood. Let me see what time it is. Oh, we're doing pretty good. We had a dog in my neighborhood. He was vicious. He'd carry on and jump up and down the fence and bark. The only problem with him is he had no teeth. And you should have heard the bark. And the woman goes, you know, if he ever got out of there, he'd say, who's he going to hurt? He got no teeth. The devil has been defanged because of Jesus. He can't hurt you. You can't let, don't let him bite you. He'll bite you like a bulldog and want to hang on. Don't let him. Speak God's word over it and tell him that you have no right to my life at all. Your reign of terror is over. You know, and I look at this here, Joseph, when let the weak say I am strong in the face of everything going crazy. Stand up in who you are. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are God's child. You know, and I prayed and I asked the Lord. I know I shared this with you once before. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't hear. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm not a pastor anymore. I retired from that, but you know I'm okay with that. You helped me transition out of that. I'm doing fine with that. My kids are grown, and they're fine. They got families, and they're doing good. But now my wife is gone. Who am I? I don't even know who I am. I said to God, Lord, you know, when grief hits you for spouse, you're a little dazed at first. And I said, Lord, I who am I? What am I? And I heard him. He said, you're my son, my child. And I said, yeah, that's right. I know whose I am, and I know who I am. You're a child of the Most High God. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you can condemn. That is your heritage as a servant of the Lord. And you're not only that, you're a child of the Most High God. And you know, when I look at that Mark 11:23, it says, speak to that mountain. You know, those mountains, sometimes they come along. Well, they've been there a long time. They're big. They don't want to be moved. They like where they are. Well, I got news for you. I'm coming through. I don't talk about going around the mountain or over the mountain. I talk about going and move the mountain. You can move a mountain. And you can speak the word of God. You know, I prayed and everything. I'm going to be sharing a few testimonies here with you about how speaking to the mountain got the results needed. But you back it up with the word of God. See, you're a co-laborer together with God. And he will equip you. You know, in the Old Testament, they were building the temple. But in another location, they were cutting out the stones. And they get the stones for the temple, and they transport them over to the construction site. And then the builders would build the temple. The thing about it is this. When God came into your life, he had things for you long before you knew you had them. He already had you equipped. He saw you equipped before you got saved. He knew what he was going to do in your life. You didn't know. I didn't think I was going to be a preacher. That's the last thing I wanted to be. I just like being saved. Isn't this nice? I even liked living in Oklahoma. Wow. I said, you know, I love my wife. I love my kids. I even love my job. I was a mechanic with American Airlines down there. You know, and I got nice and comfortable with that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And God started talking about being a minister, and I didn't want to do that. So what did I do? I did what every coward does. I stopped praying. I figured, well, if I don't talk to him, he's not going to talk to me. And every time I turned to him, he started talking about it. Till after a while, it became what I wanted to be, because I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. And the rest is history. I ended up going to Raymond, relocating back to New Jersey's. Leaving the job, all of that. And but God, who is rich in mercy, he equips us where he sends us and what he tells you to do. He's already got it in you to get the job done. You know, I look at this here, you know, but believe the words that you speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. We're already in 2 Corinthians, let's go over to chapter 4, verse number 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, did you know you have the spirit of faith in you? Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you. And we, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believed and therefore speak. You know, there's four very simple principles on getting God's promises to come. Number one, you got to hear the word. Number two, believe the word. Number three, speak the word. Number four, act on the word. You know, just this morning, I've been saying it for many years that faith is a verb. It denotes action. Well, this morning, I actually went. I looked in the dictionary, and it calls it a verb. Because faith does something. Faith is not stagnant. Faith is always on the move. You know, it's with the armor of God. You don't have anything on your back because you're not turning your back on the enemy to run. You face him head on. And you're armed and dangerous to the devil and all of his tactics. You're armed and dangerous. And you know, I look at this here, and that we're someone else. Faith confessions need to be spoken to move the mountain. Let me tell you about another thing that happened to me. Well, I had the Giardia lamblia thing. I told you about that. And it went away, and it stayed gone. It can't stay. And I prayed about it first. I said, Father, What do I say? And then a friend of mine, he brought a friend of mine, another Christian brother, he says, you need to speak to that thing. I said, what do you mean speak to it? Speak to that, Joe. What kind of bug did the doctor say? Well, it's called Giardia lamblia. Speak to Giardia lamblia. Tell it to die. Command it to die in the name of Jesus. See, you got, the first time I ever heard a faith message, I had gotten saved, and I grew up in the Catholic Church, but I didn't believe any of it. So I'm not saying anything bad about them. I didn't believe. My sister grew up in it. She was a believer, and she went on to be with the Lord. I just didn't believe. And you know, and the words that come out of her mouth have got to line up with God's words. And when you speak what God wants you to say, you become a very powerful person, very powerful in the Lord. And, you know, I didn't believe, but then the first time I went to a faith church, they were talking, I'd never heard the Bible preached. I mean, I was still reading Mark, I was in the Gospel of Mark now, that's how early I was. I read Matthew and I went to Mark, and I was reading that, and the preacher that day was preaching on the authority in the name of Jesus. Well, I never heard the likes of that before. I was about coming out of my seat. When we left there that day, my wife said, what'd you think? I said, oh, we are coming back. I want more of this stuff. This faith business is terrific. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Look out. Oh, look out, man. That was the end of it all for the devil. I mean, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I couldn't stop. I got saved 44 years ago. Back then, they used to say, you got to pray for 1 hour in tongues every day. So I went in the closet because the Bible says, go in your closet. So I went in the closet. And I kneel down, I'm praying in tongues, and I said, I preached for 3 minutes, eh? I got 57 more to go. But you know, I figured out how to do it. Eventually, I could do that. I mean, I went to preach. I got an invitation to preach a couple of years ago over in Pittsburgh. I drove there 5 hours. I prayed in the Spirit just about all the time over there. I was there for a Friday night service at some shelter. I did a men's meeting on Saturday. I preached Sunday morning, and 7 people got saved that weekend. Man, I got in the car Monday. Yeah, glory to God. I got in the car Monday, and I said, Lord, I know I told you I'll go wherever you send me. Boy, I'm glad you sent me here. Did you see that? 7 people got saved. 7 people got added to the kingdom of God, including a Muslim. Hello. Yeah, including a young Muslim fella came in, and he said, every time I walk by this building, I just kept thinking, I'm going to meet God if I ever go in there. And he did. He got saved. Glory to God. And, you know, we look at this, and we say, what else could possibly happen? Well, about 20 years ago, something happened in my family, and I was praying, but, you know, I got sick. I developed what they called hemolytic anemia. And that's where my blood was eating itself and dying off. I mean, I was feeling weak. I couldn't walk down to the mailbox and check my mail. I'd be all out of breath. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, God, Lord, I don't know what it is. Show me what it is. You know, I need to pray, so on and so forth. So one night, I was really doing bad, and my son came home. He was a personal trainer in a gym, and he came in the house, and he said, and I got up, and my wife came down and said, Joe, we got to go to church. What are you doing? I said, I fell asleep. And I walked to the kitchen from the family room, and I was... So my son, he checked my pulse. He said, Dad, your pulse rate is like, you know, like 130. What were you doing? I said, I was sleeping. He said, you were sleeping? Your heart rate was 130. He said, I'm taking you to the hospital. I said, go after church. He took me to the hospital. They discovered my blood count went down to 6.2 or 6.4. It should have been up around 14, 15. And I had to get blood transfusions. So a doctor comes in to see me, and they examine me. And I said, okay, doc, so what's going on here? He says, well, you have hemolytic anemia. Have you ever been anemic? I said, no, what do I need? Do I need Geritol? I don't know. He said, no, you need blood transfusions. I said, okay, what's the deal with hemolytic anemia? He says, well, it's incurable, but it's treatable. I said, well, we'll see about that. See, when you get a bad report, speak against it right away. Don't let it take root. And he kept talking, and he stopped. What'd you say? I said, we'll see about that. He said, no, you don't understand. This thing is in. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm going to talk to God about it. He said, okay. All right, okay. You're a nice guy. We're going to pacify you now. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something. They had to give me steroids. They gave me blood transfusion steroids. Now, don't shout me down on this. I went 5 years dealing with that mess. I used to tell my congregation all the time, then it happened to me, I used to say, you want to know a person of faith is, you know, so oftentimes somebody comes up for prayer, you pray for them or you pray with somebody, and instantly they get well. Wow, they really had great faith. I'll tell you who has great faith. The person that everything is going wrong and they don't quit believing in God to do it. That's a person of faith. You don't give up on God. Never give up on God. Even when it gets, there were times my blood count, it would come up, and then it would start going back down again. And they increase, you know, the steroids, and then the blood count would go up, and it would, well, let me tell you, 5 years went on with that madness. And one day the blood count went up, and it stayed up. It stayed up. You know, I used to pray every day. I'd say, Father, I thank you that you are the God that heals me. By your stripes, I am healed. Therefore, and I declare, I have good blood. I have healthy blood. I have lots of blood. I'm full of blood. And I'm washed in the blood. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. God, even you said, I am the God that healeth thee. I must have made that confession. Now, listen to me. I'm serious about this. Your life might be hanging in the balance. Fight the good fight of faith. I must have made that confession of faith 20 times a day for 5 years, but it went away. I remember it went away, but every month I had to go in, they checked my blood. Oh, your blood is up to 15.3. Thank you very much. That went on for 2 years, and finally, 2 years later, they came and they took my blood, and now the doctor walked in the room. He says, Joe, I think we need to talk. I said, yeah, it's about time, don't you think? He looked at me, he says, you know you're well. I said, yeah, I've been well for the last 5 years, for the last 2 years. He said, yeah, I know that too. I've been watching this thing. He said, now I can't write down on my report that you got healed because there is no cure. But what I will write, but I know what I believe. I believe you were healed by God. He said, but, and now listen, your faith can affect people big time. You know what he said to me? Bless his heart. He said, you know what I learned from you? I said, what'd you learn? He said, I learned I need to pray for my patients every day before I come into work. Wow. It affected the doctor. He saw what was impossible go away. Now, I said that thing. I'd be driving the car with my wife. We'd be talking. All of a sudden, I'd say, I have good blood. I have healthy blood. I have lots of blood. I'm full of blood. I'm washing the blood. And I go through the whole thing. And she stopped talking. I'd get all through. She'd continue right where she left off. It became a way of life. Speaking faith be a way of life. Our life is hidden in Christ. We're not what we used to be. Remember Scrooge? In It's a Wonderful, Christmas Carol, you know, the man, I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. Remember that? I'm not the man I was. And then, you know, he sends a turkey over to the Cratchit house and all that stuff, or a goose, whatever that thing was. You're not what you once were. You have a creative power in your tongue. Yes. Amen. Somebody gets on your nerves, get on your knees. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they need prayer because maybe they're cranky with a lot of people. Maybe they burn bridges everywhere they go. Maybe they say bad things that they shouldn't say everywhere that they go. But, you know, I look at this thing and I say, wow, you know, this works. I've been doing this all of my Christian life. When my youngest son, he's 44 now, when he was about 8, Suzanne remembers this. She was working with us in the church. He was riding down the hill with the other kids, sitting on a skateboard. He's about 8 years old, friends, and the thing tipped over and caught the right-hand index finger between the board and the concrete. Well, my Lord have mercy. He came in the house. I swear his feet were not on the ground. He was flying. And blood is squirting all over the place. Man, we wrapped that thing up, you know, and the first thing I command, I said, bleeding, stop in the name of Jesus. Stop. Took him to the hospital and they examined it. They x-rayed it. They called it a partial amputation. It took the whole tip of his... He's only 8 years old. Tiny little finger. There was, I mean, grounded down to the bone. Yeah, I know. I hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was terrible. So, you know, they give us the name of a doctor to go to, and they said, you need to go there for a follow-up with this. So we go there, and the doctor looks at it, you know, and everything is gone, and the finger was sliced, or, you know, down. You know, the whole tip was gone. He says, well, that was a partial amputation. He's going to need reconstructive surgery as he gets older to make that finger look like a finger again. And my son looked at him, 8 years old, and he pointed that finger at him. He says, God's going to grow my fingertip back. Now, you know where this is going, right? And the doctor looked. He said, oh, Craig, you don't understand. Everything that was on that finger that could grow flesh and a fingernail, it's gone. The cells in the skin that grow those things, it's not there anymore. And he said, you watch. The doctor looked at me and said, I'm with him. He says, okay, well, we'll see. I said, yeah, you'll see. So he said, just put this ointment on there because they wanted to be careful that an infection didn't come because it went right to the bone. And every day we had to unwrap the finger, put this ointment on it, do one of those things where you wrap, you know, it goes around the finger. And for 6 weeks, every night, we took the wrapper off, we took the bandages off, and it always looked the same. We put the ointment on it, you know. Now, we're confessing every day the finger's going to grow. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I mean, you know where this is going already. You may as well shout now, because you know it grew back. But anyway, oh, why am I going to tell you this whole story? And it never grew back. No, it grew back. And so the last day, 6 weeks later, we unwrapped he went every week, we unwrapped it. It looked the same as it always did. Let that sink in a little bit. It was the same as it always was. There was nothing there. It was ground off and new. And I put the ointment, we wrapped up. And the next day we went to the doctor. And when he took the bandage off, the fingertip was there. It was there. And the doctor looked at it. He went down like that. He looked at my son. He looked at the finger. He looked up at me. And Craig pointed that finger. I said, didn't I tell you? And the doctor smiled. He was happy. He said, Craig, you sure did. This shouldn't have happened. I said, yeah, well, in the natural, it shouldn't happen. What did we tell you? We're going to talk to God about it. So he was a Jewish doctor. His first name was Seth. And little Craig said, did you know Adam and Eve's third son was named Seth? And he said, yeah, Craig, you did say that he was going to grow back. And yes, I remember that name of Seth. The guy was fumbling around. He said, this is amazing. I got to tell my other doctors, that friends, that this thing grew back. And then the doctors told me, you mean to tell me last night it looked like it did last week? I said, yes. And you mean to tell me that overnight you got that? I said, yes. He said, that is wonderful. Yeah. See, as a doctor, you know, I believe doctors are in the healing business, don't you? Not everybody could be a doctor. And then, you know, and he, he was good about it, you know, and that was good. And the fingertip, it grew back. Now that, to me, is an enormous situation. But the hemolytic anemia, I had that. That went away. The Giardia lamblia, it died and never came back. And all of those things, you know, and I look at these things and I say, God, you are a good God. You know, I got healed of COVID. And I know it's a little bit of a different topic here, sort of, kind of. How many of you ever heard of a guy named Lance Wallnau? Anybody here know who he is? He's a preacher, he's a faith guy, he's Pentecostal, he's smart on politics and international things. He goes on that Flashpoint, which comes out of kind of Copeland Ministries, and he's on there with them, and he's very prophetic and all kinds of things. So one night, I had COVID, and it was a Friday morning, and I was sitting downstairs, I got my robe on, and I got the chills, I got headaches, I got body aches, I'm not hungry, I don't feel good, my stomach's full. I had all the symptoms of COVID, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the news channel, and I'm not hearing a word they're saying. All I'm hearing is blah, 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 blah. Remember Charlie Brown, wah, 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 when the teacher talks to the kids? That's all I heard. I'm just sitting there like this. And all of a sudden, God speaks to me. Did you know he talks to you? He spoke to me and he said, go on Facebook. Facebook? I'm not in the mood for Facebook. I felt like, I didn't say it, but I felt like saying, hey, Lord, you know, I got COVID here. You know, you're telling me to go on Facebook? I said, okay, well, see, that's the thing here. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I remember that with a bunch of men one time, and they were Christians too. And, you know, they were talking about some meeting somewhere. Everybody was praying in tongues. And they said, this one guy said, yeah, they were all praying in tongues. Man, I didn't know anything they were saying. I said, well, they weren't talking to you. He that speaking in unknown tongues speaks not to men, but unto God. And, you know, and I'm sitting there, and wah, 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 and I'm just watching. You know, and then I go on Facebook, and Lance is on there with his wife, and they're talking about a house they bought that needed renovations. And I'm thinking, why am I watching him? Lord, what was this? You know, did I imagine that you said go on there? I don't get it. And they talk about this house that they bought, all the renovations they had to do, and all of that. And he says, well, okay, well, I'm just about out of time now. Annabelle and I, we say goodbye, and it was a Friday. And he says, well, we'll be back. By the way, he said, go on Facebook. And it said, Lance Wallnau is live now. It was live. It wasn't a pre-recording. As I'm watching it, it's as they are with the camera on them. It was a live stream. And I'm watching it, and he says, well, we'll see you on Monday. We'll be up. Wait a minute. I just feel I need to pray. There's some people watching right now that you're not feeling good, and God wants to heal you right now of whatever it is that you're going through. Now, when he said that, faith came out of my mouth. I said, this is for me. Yeah. I said, this is for me. You got to seize the moment, seize the day, grab hold of it. When you hear something that's to your benefits, name it and claim it. Say, this is for me. I knew other people. I said, but this is for me. And he started praying faith. All the scriptures that we know about, the pastors, Pastor Jay has mentioned them many times. He's praying all these things. I'm sitting there, I'm listening, and I'm sick as a dog. I was like, And he said, and I say right now to everybody, watch right now, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. So long, everyone. We'll see you Monday. And he was off the air, and I was healed. Right on the spot. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I said, whew, wow, my headache is gone. Oh, I could breathe. I get up off the couch, the body aches, everything, all the symptoms were gone. See, there's that voice of faith. Faith has a voice. And when he said, I'm going to pray for you, you're going to get healed, I took ownership. Grab hold of the exceeding great and precious promise. When Pastor Jay is preaching on something and it's touching on something on your life, even if you got to mumble it, God hears it, the devil, he says, this is for me. This is mine. I'm taking that now. This is for me. And he prayed that, and I'm sure other people got healed too in other ways. I was completely healed. Why? I spoke. The voice of faith can speak. You speak into the mountain. Sometimes those mountains are there a long time. But you need to speak to it. One stick of dynamite at a time moves a mountain, then they build a highway through. See, God wants you to speak to that mountain and blow it all out of the way so he can give you a pathway to the other side where God's got a blessing waiting for you. Are you hearing what I'm telling you on this? Amen. I don't know how much more I could go on this, how much more time I have, but I think I'm about out of time. I want to say this. This was a simple message. I'm just speaking really today. You know, speak to the mountain. It's a way of life. Make it a way of life for you. Speaking to them. People are going to think you're nuts. So what? What do you care what they think? Right? I don't care what people think about me. I only care what God thinks about me. And I know the plans of God. God's ways are higher than our ways. He's out to do you good. For I know the plans of God, right? He's going to prosper you, do good things, heal you, bless you. God's in the blessing business. He's bigger than Santa Claus, let me tell you. We don't need once a year for him to come around, right? God is always there. I mean, yeah, I believe in prayer. And I believed it right from the beginning. The day I was saved, 44 years ago, when I got saved, God spoke to me that day. Now, let me just throw something else. This is free. I have nothing to do with anything here. So I get saved, right? I go home, you know, and I'm pouring all my liquor down the drain. And I'm crying. My wife is looking at me. She says, Joe, what's going on? I said, you don't understand. And she thought maybe I was crying because I was pouring the liquor away. You know? No. But, you know, and then she's... I said, you know what I said? She said, what don't I understand? I said, I gave my life to Jesus today. And I know I'm never going to drink again. And she said, Joe, look at me. And finally, I looked at her and I said, watch. She said, I gave my life to Jesus 3 nights ago with the 700 Club. I said, whoa, we need to talk. Now I'm so excited about being a Christian. Oh, my Lord. I couldn't wait to get to work the next day to go back to reading that Bible because I was in this shop. That's another long story. The shop was dead. All I had to do was read the Bible in there. They were paying me to get saved. And I went there and I got a helper. And his vocabulary didn't go above his waist. I mean, just terrible. I said, oh, my gosh, is that what I sounded like? Yeah, ooh. So I went back to the bathroom. You know, the men's, that's where God talks, right? I'm saved in one day, not even a full day yet. So I go in the men's room. I said, hey, God, I can't work with this guy. I'm in here because of a layoff. I can't work with him. Get him out of there or get me out of there. But I can't work with him. Lord, you got to do something. That was it. I didn't even know to pray in the name of Jesus. But God heard me. I was brand new. You know, when your little child can't say refrigerate, say refrigerate. Say, oh, isn't that nice? So I go back to work, you know, and the place is dead. And that afternoon, this guy comes in, hands me a piece of paper. I said, what's that? He says, you got recalled back to your job. I said, oh, wow. When? Tomorrow. I looked up. I said, wow, you're good. Wow, that was really good. You know, I was working in this sandblasting shop, and none of the machines were working the whole time I was there. Only 2 days, and God got me. But meanwhile, I prayed, get me out of here or get him out of here. So now I'm out of there. And all of a sudden, now there's a humming going on in the shop, and all the machines work. God will move a mountain for you. So I was out of there. What I want you to get a hold of today is if you haven't done it, or maybe you haven't done it in a while, get back to speaking to that mountain that's trying to rob you of God's blessings in your life. Speak to that thing. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He'll give you a confession of faith. And then you speak that confession of faith. I'm going to say, I have good blood. I have healthy blood. I have lots of blood. I'm washed in the blood, you know, all the way through that. And I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And, you know, and you said, I am the God that healeth thee in Exodus. And I was claiming all of that every day over and over and over and over again. Was I nuts? No, I was in the spirit. You start making a confession of faith and back it up with the word of God and with the name of Jesus. And God will move a mountain for you. He'll move it for you. Be not weary in well-doing, friends. You'll reap if you faint not. Amen? I hope you got something out of this today. I wanted to come out. That's for somebody here today. I hope you put it into use. You'll thank me later, as the monk used to say on that old show. You'll thank me later. But it'll work for you. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another and another and another. He doesn't run out of power, doesn't run out of mercy, doesn't run out of grace. But he'll work with you as you co-labor together with him. Let me just say this before I end it. Now, thank you so much. You're a wonderful group of people. Listen very diligently. I hope you put some of this stuff into use. You'll see the blessing of God. But what I want to say to you is the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon, Raphael. Thank you, sir.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.